Hi, here's Maseches Kinim, second parak, third Mishnah, which is a very, very exciting Mishnah. So first of all, we're going to read the Mishnah with a very short and direct translation. Then we're going to briefly review some of the important points from previous Mishnahs that will help us to understand this Mishnah. And after that, we're going to diagram and discuss this Mishnah in detail. Okay, so first just the text. We have Lezu Echad, Lezu Shtayim, Lezu Shalosh, Lezu Arba, Lezu Chamesh, Lezu Shesh, Lezu Sheva. We have seven women. Lezu, to the first woman, Echad. She has one Ken Chova, half of which is supposed to get used as Chatas and half as Ola. Lezu Shnayim, and we have a second woman who has two Kene Chova, that is a nest of four birds, half of which are to be used as chatas and half of which are to be used as ola. Lezu shalosh, and then we have a third woman. She has a box of six birds, three of them as chatas and three to be ola, which hasn't been decided which is which, or ken chova, a ken stuma. The fourth woman, lezu arba, she has four kene chova to bring, so she has a box of eight birds, half of which are to be chatas and half ola. Likewise, the lezu chamesh, a fifth woman, who has 10 birds, which are her five kene chova, half to be chatas and half ola. The lezu shesh, a sixth woman, likewise, she has 12 birds, half of which are to be chatas and half ola. And the lezu sheva, a seventh woman, who has 14 birds, half of which are to be chatas and half of which are to be ola. Okay, parach min harishona l'shnia l'shishit revit l'chamishit l'shishit l'shvit chazar. So, a bird flies from the box that the first woman has into the box of the second woman, and then a bird flies, the same one or a different one, from the second woman into the third, and then a bird flies from the third into the fourth, and likewise the same bird or a different bird from the fourth into the fifth, and likewise the same bird or a different bird from the fifth into the sixth, and likewise the same bird or a different bird from the sixth into the seventh, chazar, and then some bird from the seventh, whether it was the one that flew in or the one that was one of them that was originally there, flies back into the sixth, and likewise something from the sixth into the fifth, and from the fifth into the fourth, and the fourth into the third, and the third into the second, and the second into the first. So at the end of this fly forward and fly back, we have the same number of birds that we had originally, but they're a little bit partially mixed up, maybe. Because maybe it's the same bird that flew out of the first one that winds up back in the first one and nothing is mixed. We don't know. They're all identical. So, posel echad b'chalichaso ve'echad b'chaziroto. We have this rule that we already saw in the first Mishnah of this second parag, that when a bird flies out of a nest of birds, you posel one of the birds inside of that nest, because that allows the one that flies out to have no restrictions, that it could be used as a chatas or an ola. And the posel echad is posel a pair, and you posel one of them in the group that it flies into, because you can't use an odd number of them, because then you may misuse the original condition of the even number of birds that was there. So posel echad b'chalichaso in each of the transfers, ve'echad b'chazirato, and likewise in each of the directions back from the seventh all the way back to the sixth, as we'll see in more detail. Therefore, to make sure that we're doing it right, because remember, the ratio of a Mishnah is something that should be simple and straightforward, so they'll give us the answer here. Harishona v'hashnia ein lehem klum. The first one doesn't have any, because flying out of it we puzzled one bird, and flying back into it we puzzled one bird, and therefore there are no birds left. Hashnia ein lehem klum. The second one, which had four birds, now has none left. They're all puzzled, because we had something fly in from the first to the second, and something fly out from the second to the third, so that's two puzzle. And then we had something fly back in from the third into the second, and from the second into the first, and that's another two puzzle. So of the four birds that are there, four are puzzle, so likewise it's ein lehem klum. Hashlishit yesh la echad. In the third one, just like in the second one, we subtract four birds, so we still have one pair of birds that we'll be able to use. Ha-Ravi'it yesh la shtayim, and we'll see again in detail, the Ravi'it had four pairs, and now it only has two pairs, because we've subtracted two pairs. Ha-Chamishit yesh la shalosh, ha-Shishit yesh la arba, ha-Shvi'it yesh la shesh. What happens in the Shvi'it? It's an end group, just like the first group one is. So in the Shvi'it, only something flies in and something flies out, so we only subtract two. From the seven original pairs, we're now only allowed to use six pairs. Parach v'chazar. Now we have this chain reaction happens again, but to get to the answer of the Mishnah, it's not going to start with the first one, it's going to start with the third one. So something flies from the third to the fourth to the fifth to the sixth to the seventh, v'chazar, seven to six to five to four to three. Posel echad b'chalichaso v'echad b'chazigrato. Ha-shlishit v'ha-revit enehem klum. The shlishit, as you remember, only had one pair. It's now an N group, so we subtract another pair, so nothing is left. The revi'it was something in the middle. We had already subtracted two pair, and now since in the middle, we're going to subtract another two pair, so enehem klum. Ha-chamishit yesh le-echad. It's been twice in the middle, so each time we subtracted two pairs, it still has one pair left. Ha-shishit is also in the middle. The first time through, we subtracted two pairs, and now we're subtracting again two pairs. So yesh l'shnayim, it still has two pairs. We'll see the diagram. Just let's get through the text first. V'hashvi'it yesh l'chamesh. It's an N group. We subtracted one pair the first time around, and it's still an N group. We subtract another pair the second time around, and therefore, from seven pairs, it goes down to five pairs. Parach v'chazar. Again, not from the birds where they're all pasul, but only from the ones where things are allowed. So it goes from the chamishi to shishi to shvi'it, and the shvi'it to shishi to chamishi back again. Same rule, posel echad b'chalichaso v'echad b'chazirato. Ha-chamishit, we subtracted two and two, so there was one left. And now it's an N group, we subtract another one, so there's nothing left. Ha-shishit was twice in the middle, so, and now it's a third time in the middle, so it's minus two, minus two, minus two, nothing left. Ha-shvi'it has been three times in N group, so it's minus one, minus one, minus one, so there's four pairs left. And then comes this really strange, here we are at the Seif of the Mishnah, and this is where everybody trips up and says it's impossible. V'yeh shomrim. How can you have a yeh shomrim on arithmetic? What do you mean you have a different answer? And the yeh shomrim says, ha-shvi'it lo yifsida klum, that this seventh group hasn't lost any. And we'll see there are two different ways to understand this funny phrase, which makes it even messier. And then comes this extra clause, Ve'im parach mi ben ha-metot. If something flies from birds that are set aside to be left to be not to be used, lekulam, into all of them, hare kulam yamutu, then all of them have to be left to die. Now, at this point, most people who are looking at this Mishnah, because of the Yesh Omrim, says this is the impossible Mishnah. Most especially because, however we're going to understand the Yesh Omrim, it looks like the Yesh Omrim says we're going to be more using more than we had in the Tanna Kamma in the first half. And it seems that what we've been trying to do is use as many as we can without making any mistakes. So the fact that everybody agrees that the Yesh Omrim isn't the halacha is what gets this Mishnah the title of the impossible Mishnah. I don't think it's impossible, and I think I can show you a simple way to get through it. Okay, so this first way that we just read and translated makes it look very, very difficult. And now we're going to try to show how to do this whole thing easier. But first, let's review what we've done in the previous Mishnahs, which will help us to get through this clearly. Okay, in the first Mishnah of the second parag, it gave us a method for using birds from partially mixed nests. So it said, Parach leben ha-krevot, pasul do posel echad k'negdo, shahagoza la-poreach pasul u posel echad k'negdo, meaning if, parach leben ha-krevot, if you have two nests that are even numbers of two, each one is even numbers of birds, half of them have to be used as chatas and half ola, and something flies from one to the other, then posel echad ve'achad kenegdo. You posel one bird from the nest it flew out of and one bird from the nest it flies into. And essentially they're saying, shagozel ha'poreach, this bird that flies out, causes two different birds to be posel. One in the fly out and one is in the fly in group. As we discussed in the recording of the first mission of the second parag. Again, for two different reasons. From the nest that it flies out of, we want to make sure that if we wind up using this bird that flew in somewhere, it can be used as a chatas or an ola. So in the group that it flies out of, we're going to set one bird aside that we're not going to use. In the group that something flies into, we're going to make one puzzle that we're not going to use, one bird of that group that we're not going to use, because we don't want to violate the entanglement condition that half of this fly-in group should be used as chatas and half as ola. So it's for two different reasons. In the second mission of the second parag, it reminds us that the objective that we're trying to get to is to use as many birds as possible. If the birds were designated as chatas and ola, for individual birds, then we want to make sure that we use them as chatas and ola. However, if the birds were a group of birds which were not designated, which is a half of which have to use chatas and ola, that we don't want to violate that entanglement and use more than half as chatas or more than half as ola. So essentially, what we're trying to do is any way we can to use as many birds as we can without violating these conditions, any way that we can prove that it works. And this is really what it shows us in the second mission of the second parag. Since in this instance, when it says Sha'afilu hen mitarvot ein pachot meishnayim, it says even if they flew back and forth any number of times, we can always say if they were all put in together in one group, we can learn the way we learned in the third mission of the first parak, which is half of mexa kosher, mexa puzzle. Half of them are kosher and half puzzle. Okay? So, however we can work this out not to violate any of the entanglement conditions, that's the number of birds you use. We're always trying to use the most birds that we can without violating any of the conditions to make sure that all of the women get to fulfill their obligations of bringing chatas and ola. Now, please relax. Here we're going to go through this third mishnah of the second parag, where the first half looks complicated and the second half looks impossible, because we're about to see that the first half is simple and straightforward, and because we're then going to see how the second half can become completely clear. Let's look at a diagram. Okay. We have seven women. The zu echad, first woman, has one nest. The zu shnayim, the zu shalosh, the zu arba, the zu chamesh, the zu shesh, the zu sheva. Likewise, the seventh woman has seven nests. That means the first woman has two birds, four, six, eight, 10, 12, and 14 birds. Okay? Now, parach me harishona l'shnia, something flies from the first to the second, then from shnia to shlishi, from the second to the third, third to fourth to fifth to sixth, sixth to seventh. Chazar, something flies from the seventh to the sixth, then from the sixth to the fifth, then from the fifth to the fourth, the third, so forth. Now, they all look the same, so we don't know what's happened. So we said, posel echad ve'echad kenegdo. When something flies out, we subtract one bird. And when something flies back in, we subtract one bird. That's subtracting one nest. In the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth groups, they're all in the middle. In each one of them, something flew in and something flew out. That's minus two birds. Something flew in on the flyback and something flew out on the flyback. That's another two birds. That's two nests of birds, four birds that we subtract from each of these middle groups, but on the end groups, only something flew out and something flew in. Only something flew in and something flew out, so we only subtract one nest. So, as the Mishnah tells us, in the first and the second, we have no birds that we're going to use. In the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, we respectively subtract two, and we wind up with one nest, two nests, three nests, and four nests. But in the seventh group, we only subtracted one nest, so we have six. The result is, as the Mishnah tells us, in the third, we have two birds, four birds, six birds, eight birds, and 12 birds. We have a second flyover. Something flies from the third to the fourth to the fifth to the sixth to the seventh and back, seven, six, five, four, three. in this case, the third group and the seventh group are the N groups, and therefore, from each of those, we subtract two, right? Same rule as up here. So here, something flew from the third, something flew out, and something flew back in. That's minus one nest. It only had one nest of two birds, so there's no birds left. In this one, we had two nests. It flew in, out. That's minus two nests. So of the four birds, we have none left. In the third and the fourth, likewise. Three nests minus two nests is one nest of two birds. Four nests minus two nests is two nests of four birds. But here, the seventh is still an N group. So only something flew in and something flew out. So you only subtract one, which means we have five nests or 10 birds. Third flyover, okay? The N groups are the fifth and the seventh. So something flew from the fifth to the sixth to the seventh, and something flew back from the seventh to the sixth to the fifth. The fifth is an N group. We only had one nest there. We subtract two birds. There's nothing left. The sixth group was a middle group. Okay, so we subtract two nests from the two nests that were there. Nothing's left. And the last one is still an N group. So we had five nests. We subtract one nest. We have four nests. We have eight birds we can use. It looks like simple, straightforward. Then comes this strange, strange opinion, V'yeshomrim, ha'shviyah lo yifsida klum. So, before we resolve what that is and why it's not the halacha, surprisingly, let's look at the two different ways of understanding ha'shviyah lo yifsida klum. We had a rule way back in the first mission of this parag that said, im parach leben ha'krevot. Well, when you get down to here, there are no more krevot, so why are we subtracting one? We should really say, hey, you can still use 10 birds. That's one opinion. The second opinion is even stranger. The second opinion says, though you see the klum, you should be able to use all 14 of the birds that are here. How did he arrive at that? Well, we don't want to make any mistakes, right? So, how many birds from the first group could have wound up in the seventh? Well, the first group was only in one flyover. Therefore, at worst case, one bird from the first could have flown all the way and stayed in the seventh and something else went back. But we're never going to use the other bird of the first group. So what's the problem with using that bird as a chatas or an olah? In the second group, since it was only in one flyover, only one bird from the second group could have wound up in the seventh group. And therefore, the other three aren't being used. What's the problem if I use it as a chatas or an olah? Okay, coming around to the third group. The third group was in two flyovers. So worst thing that could happen is two birds from the six birds of the third group could have wound up in the seventh. If I use them both as chatas or both as ola, one is chatas and ola, what does it matter? The other four birds from that group are never going to get used. So there's no violation. Likewise, the fifth group, it's only in two flyovers, so only two birds could have wound up in the seventh. All the rest of them are not being used. If I use them both as chatas or both as ola, what's the problem? Same thing for the sixth. So really, if I use all 14 birds, half of them as chatas and half of them as ola, I haven't violated anybody's conditions. So now comes the big surprise. Everybody agrees that the Esham Reba is in the halacha. So now we've come along to what's going on here. Okay? Now let's look at the language more carefully, because it actually tells us what's going on. And this is kind of weird for me, because I haven't found any of the Mefarshim that explain this. They all say it's a gezeira, and they don't exactly explain to me what the gezeira is. So, what has the Yesh Omrim said? Hashvi is lo ifsida klum. The seventh group hasn't lost any. Okay? That makes sense. V'im parach mi ben hametot lekulam. There are no metot in the Tanakama. In the Tanakama, if I would take a box and put all of these birds together in one box, I revert back to the way we learned in the first perek, hamuat kosher, I can always use one pair. However, in the Yesh Omrim, what I'm really saying in order to use 10 or to use 14 is all of the birds that are going to be that are in the first through the sixth group have a status of mesis. And therefore, if one of them would then afterwards fly into the seventh group, I wouldn't be able to use any. So, in the halacha is basically taking responsibility for a look ahead. It said, why can't we use the Yesh Omrim? Because afterwards, after you ask the question and we come back and tell you, use 10 or 14, and then somehow something else gets mixed up, something from one of these groups flies into the seventh group, you're going to come back and say, what did you do to me? You declared these as mesis. If you hadn't done that, I'd still be able to use one pair. Okay, let's see that in the language of the Mishnah, because it's very, very delicate, the language of the Yesh Omrim. If you would not ask the question, and the Kohen just ran ahead and used all 14 birds, even in the seventh group, there is no problem. But that's the kind of a situation we'll see in the third parak where the Kohen doesn't ask. Here we're in lechatkila. You're asking before it happens. So, im parachmi ben hametot lekulum, okay, who is it flying into? It's flying into the ones that we could use. So whether we put them all in one box or we don't, if anything from any of these which are now declared mates flies in there, we're stuck. Okay? Hare kulam yamutu. Hare, we would declare. Okay? This means lichatkila, if you would ask, we don't want to get into trouble. We're taking responsibility for the decisions. But if you wouldn't ask, and this is where it gets to be lots of fun when I'm teaching kids 14, 15, 16 years old, because all of a sudden they come up with all kinds of great klutzkashes, and it's lots of fun, it's a lot of work. And one of them says, well, forget about what the Mishnah tells me. What happens if I wanted to use, at the end of all of this, let me use all 12 birds that I find in the sixth woman. Would that let me use more? And it's a case out of the third parak. Yeah, you could use all 12, but you could have done better if you used all 14 without asking. But again, if you ask, go according to the Tanakam and use 8. And the klutzkashes here are absolutely wonderful. Every kid tries to find a better klutzkashe. What if I only use one bird from here and four birds from here? They go through all the possibilities. And at the end of all that work, you find out that's the best answer, lechatchila. That's the best answer. But b'di'evad, if you had used 10 or 14 birds from there or some other combination, not all of the other combinations, you would have been okay. Okay, that's in the idea that Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek V'Olam Haba. I hope this little postage stamp size explanation finds its way onto the marginal side commentaries of Masechet Kinim as my chedek, because maybe this is the only thing I've ever done. Okay, two other things to mention. You remember in the first parak we had where Rebbe Rossi introduces a novel aspect of halacha. And here, this Yesh Omrim also introduces a novel aspect of halacha, which is that we have a requirement if we're trying to ask to try to do the look ahead. If it's a critical situation and kind of situation way back at the beginning where we can't use something like batel and we can't get through it with sveik sveika. However, even if we know who this Yesh Omrim is, his name has been changed to Yesh Omrim, not because there's anything wrong with him, but to try to prevent anyone from saying, I prefer to do according to the Yesh Omrim. Okay? A second thing is, as I mentioned, I have a conjecture, that this second parak is really dealing with also not just with partial mixtures, but with cases that we'll find more likely when we're proximate to Harabayat. And to find seven women with groups of nests who are all standing next to each other that a bird can fly from one to the other is a much more likely scenario when you're near Har HaBayit than it is in some village anywhere else in the country. Okay? Thank you all.